What is a contact page and why do you want to have a contact page? These are the questions that we're going to talk about this week on Podcast Dojo.
Master the art of the podcast. It's Podcast Dojo!
Hello and welcome to Podcast Dojo, the show that each week inspires those wanting to start a podcast to find their passion and start recording, coach those recording to master their niche, and to cheer the podcast community on as podcasting grows more and more popular each and every day. I am your host, Brian, and I want to thank you personally for taking the time to have a listen, and we have got one heck of a show this week. Know that it's been, for those of you who have been, you know, listening, waiting, as a matter of fact, Chris from Pika Radio Station had a brain fart for a moment. Sorry about that. .com even asked, well, when are you going to have another show out? Well, long story, and you could catch it over on Finding Brian, but it's, for those who are wondering, yeah, it's been a little while. Those who are just now coming in, hey, no, never mind. Don't worry about it. So anyhow, you can find the show notes for this particular show. It's going to be over at podcastdojo.com/012. And you can get email and phone number, email subscriptions, and all that other network, social networks, and all that good jazz over on our contact page, which is what we're going to be talking about this week. And our contact page is over at podcastdojo.com/contact. So what is a contact page? Why do we want it? What is it about a contact page that a person should have? A contact page is almost as important as having an about page. And an about page is one of the more important. It's the highest clicked spot. Most people will look at your about page. If they have no idea what your show or what your website is about, they will go to the about page to see what is this particular website about. The second thing is you want to have a contact page. And it is just about as important as that about page, because you're sitting there, you're working your little butt off trying to get your audience to interact with you. You've tried as many things as you could possibly think of to, hey, call me at this number or email me over here. All these other things to try to ending the show with a question, trying to generate some engagement, trying to get your listeners to start listening, start interacting with you, start trying to get that community to build. Well, what's the problem that you run into with that? Or the problem that you run into with that, I don't know why it's ended up with, sorry, is where do most of your listeners listen to podcasts? Majority of people listen while on the move, or they're doing something. They're either driving, or they're running, or they're doing a walk, or they're doing the dishes, or they're vacuuming the floor, or they're chasing after the naked kid who got out of the bathtub too quick, and they're chasing him down to put him back in so he can wash the other half of him. They're doing stuff. Your listeners normally 90% of the time, well, okay, maybe a little high, but at least 75% of the time are going to be doing other things. Those other things are away from a pen and paper. When you tell them, hey, give us a call at 555-2121, they're not going to remember that unless you happen to have a very easy number and you've got something that sticks in their head that moment. One of the ways to make sure that they can get a hold of you, say you said something that they're just really wanting to connect with you on. They said something really controversial and people are wanting to throw in their two cents. You've inspired them to make a comment on your page or send you an email or call you up something. Well, best way to do that is just tell them you can get it, find everything over at whatever my website is, .com/contact or contact us, however you want to do it. And it will allow people to be able to find you and be able to get to your contact page, and make sure you have a link on the front page also. So if they just go to podcastdojo.com or whatever your site is, they will see at the top or somewhere on the menu, there will be contact us, and they can click there and they can see all the different ways they can contact you. On mine, I went ahead and I did social media and direct connections. So why do you want a contact page? Well, besides for it being as important as what I just stated, one, it simplifies your call to action. That little call to action I did at the first. And you can get a hold of us in any form, fashion, or another by going to podcastdojo.com/contact. There you can visit the contact page. You're able to follow people, your listeners are able to follow you. You've got everything grouped together. They don't have to hunt. So you keep everything in one place. So instead of telling your audience to follow me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, like me on Facebook business page, on our fan page, circle us on Google Plus, follow me on Instagram, follow me on Pinterest. And, you know, on top of that, go to my review the show over on iTunes. Give us a thumbs up over at Stitcher, you know, on all these other things, throwing 130 different call to actions. One thing I've been playing catch up on a bunch of podcasts here recently, just because I've been gone for a couple of weeks. And it was a wake up in a way to hear, because apparently it was call to action week couple of weeks ago, because everybody was talking about, you need to have a very simple call to action. Do not have 30 call to actions on your sales page. And they were, a lot of them were talking about, you know, marketing. So you have they're talking about, you know, a marketing page, your landing page and your squeeze pages and things like that, which honestly, I don't even know what a squeeze page is. So if anybody wants to help clarify that, if y'all are a marketing genius and knows what a squeeze page is, let me know. Give me a holler. You can go to podcastdojo.com/021 and leave a message or leave a comment on the comments section. But instead of telling your fans, your listeners, all the different, go to all these different places, which confuses people. I have really got to stop talking with my hands. Sorry about that. I am a hand talker. I my hands go flying all over the place. And that's probably one reason why I don't do a video. Well, actually, videos are going to be talked about. Why you should start a video will be next week. But, I'm a hand waver. And unfortunately, I've hit the mic stand about three different times. This one alone, I'm going to have to learn to sit on my hands. But instead of being so calm, you confuse your audience if you give them too many call to actions. Follow the KISS methodology. Keep it simple, stupid. Just make sure that it stays simple. One, two call to actions. You got 30 call to actions, way, way too much. Your customers are going to, and your customers, your audience, your listeners are going to go, I don't know. And they're not going to follow. They're not going to click. They're not going to do anything. And if you give them too many choices or too many calls to actions. So if you lay it out on a contact page, they can go, oh, okay, well, let's go here. Let's go here, and may spend 5-10 minutes of doing a couple of the different items in there that are listed in your contact page. And they may give you a call, and they may shoot you an email, and they may do whatever it is that they want to do. People are also, you're making it easy for your listeners. You always want to try to make it as easy as you possibly can. That's the reason why you want to have the plug-in pretty link, because when you have the plug-in pretty link, you're keeping the links from being 38 reasons why you should have use WordPress and enjoy it all the time, as instead of having that as your permalink on your blog, you can then take it and mash it down to calling it WordPress suggestions or something along those lines. And it will redirect over to the one that's got that 2 mile long post. And it helps to make it simple. Keep it so that your audience who's trying to remember what they want to do as they're driving on their hour long drive. You know, I've always wondered, people say, well, the average driving time is 30 minutes. Where? The only places I've ever had driving times were whenever I lived in San Diego and Dallas. And both of those times were over an hour each time. Drive down there and it would be bumper to bumper, and you drive back and it would be bumper to bumper. It wasn't a 30 minute drive. It was an hour to go, you know, 5 miles. Crazy. But anyhow. But your listeners, while they're sitting in traffic, trying to get to work or trying to get back from work after a long, hard day, they see you say, tell them something that just blows their mind, blows their hair back. Wow. Who'd have thought that? Well, they want to get a hold of you, but they can't because they're driving. So they're not going to be able to sit down or whip out their phone and type in the email address. So you want to make sure you have a contact page so they can get at least bring the page up. Put the phone down, and later on down the road, whenever they get to wherever they're going, they can pull their phone out again and recheck what it is they were going after, what they were looking for on your site. Another item that helps with your contact page is to go ahead and have an email form. It's not going to hurt for you to have a form laid out so that people can just throw in their name, email address, and whatever their comment is. So they can real quickly just jump in and go pop, pop. Because the name and the email address is pretty much an autofill. I know in Chrome, and I believe still in Mozilla, you have an autofill feature in there. And you click on it, and as you start to type your name, it fills it in. And you say okay, and it fills in all the other fillable items. So if you're needing like a phone number and an email address and all, mailing address and all this other stuff, all the repeatable information would be there. And all you'd have to do is just go into the text box and just type out your question, comment, or answer. Makes it very simple for your listener. And so you want to have an email form on your page. Now, some people go, well, you don't want to have an email form. That's going to increase your spam. Yeah, you're right. It could possibly increase my spam. But you know what? I think I can deal with a little bit of spam if it allows my listeners to get a hold of me. And I've gotten, since I've put this up, which was a couple weeks ago, it's only been about a week. Put it up about a week ago. I've gotten 2 pieces of spam through it. Oh, well. So what do you need for your contact page? Well, the contact page should have, you know, your standard information. One, who you are, maybe a little picture of you if you want. But also, you want to make sure, have a contact form on there. It ain't going to hurt. Put an email form in there. Let them know that you can use a plugin like Contact Form Maker. Simple plugin. Allows your listeners to quickly, it allows you to quickly be able to put in a simple email form, where they put in their name and the first name, last name, email address, and whatever their comment is. Bada bing, bada boom, they're done. Send it and it's gone. It's going to you. Very simple to set up. But some other things you definitely want to have on there. And your phone number. If you got a phone number for call-ins, voicemails, things like that, leave that. Email address. Go ahead and put your email address up there. And again, people go, well, you're going to get more spam. Well, if you put your email address up there, actually you won't if you use the plugin Cryptix. And because what that does is it's actually it scrambles your email address so that scraping bots can't come through there and find an email. If they find an email address, it'll be garbled. And so they won't notice it and they'll just pass over it. While if someone clicks on the link of your email address, it comes right up. It shows on there to be an email address, but it becomes invisible to bots. Put your social media information up there. A lot of people want, well, we don't have enough followers. Well, one, I don't sweat followers so much. Yeah, your followers and your social media area scheme is highly important. We will get into social media portions of podcasting a little later on, but it doesn't need to be at the top of your list. But at the same time, always give your audience is on social media, one form, fashion, or another. They're on social media. Give them a chance to be able to find you, to hunt you down, and be able to follow and hang on every word that you type. And it's also, like I said before, leave the links for your call to action. So if you like, going to podcastdojo.com/iTunes will take you to the iTunes review, and that way you can leave us a review. That's one place you can do that, and you can actually put the link there. Put a link to Stitcher also and any other places that are the ratings and reviews. Those are good places to put on the contact because they are making contact with you. You can see the fact that PBL drinker or PBR drinker had come by and given you 3.5 stars or given you 3 stars. Good. All right. We now know he came by. Now, one of the things about all those pieces of information is make them clickable so that while you're on, because most sites now should be, as I've mentioned, should be mobile friendly. Make sure those emails, you click on those emails and they go to your email client, but also make your phone number, clickable. This, and it's not actually hard at all. What you would end up doing is, you got to do a little bit of coding on the back. And it's, I mean, when I say a little bit of coding, don't freak out. Oh my God. It's your old style HTML style coding. And it's not hard at all. Cause to make it, and this is your tip of the week, make your information work on mobile devices. Mobile users are growing, everybody's using mobile. Mobile is becoming, is working its way into every aspect of everybody's lives. Mobile computing is more mobile computing going on now than there are desktop computing. And so it's growing. It has grown. It's surpassed. It is the end thing. Okay. And where I say mobile, I'm not meaning just phone. I'm meaning tablets also. And so you make sure you've got, for the phone guys, that you make sure you've got a way for them to be able to just pull up your information, go to the contacts page, hit the phone number, and it dials it up. Now, some phones or some browsers will do it automatically. If they see a phone, something that looks like a phone number, they'll underline it and make sure that it's a visible link. Others won't, but go on ahead and cover everybody. Like I said, keep it simple for your audience. And the way you can do this is actually do an a hyperlink reference. And instead of doing equals inside the parentheses, HTTP colon whack whack, www, whatever, put in TEL for telephone and then your phone number for your voicemail. You can also do the same thing for SMS. If you wanted them to be able to send you a text message, you can actually do that by using SMS colon and the phone number, followed by like a question mark in the body, whatever message. So you could actually shoot us a hello text, boop, and that text will then be sent over with whatever the body message is that you have in there. If you're a Skype person, instead of doing HTTP colon, use Skype colon, your Skype username, question mark call inside the parentheses. This even goes as far as if you're fixing to have a meetup out at a park, you could actually even use Google Maps and use the link of HTTP colon Google Maps / and all your information, title, your address here, you know, and all this stuff will be on the show notes at podcastdojo.com/021. But make this easy for your listeners. All this stuff can be put onto the contact page. And like I said, make it easy. Repeatedly make it easy for your listeners. Now, we've actually got a new segment that we're putting together. And that new segment is a podcaster site. What this is actually going to be is any site that I come across that I think would be beneficial for a podcast or something for them to pay attention to, something that they want, they need to be more, might want to go ahead and investigate and see if there's a way they can fold this into their plan, their strategy. And today we're going to talk about Patreon. Now, Patreon is just fine. It just popped up onto the radar. I've heard several people talking about it here recently. Actually, I heard about it from Nick Suberling over at Who Day Weekly. He does also does another podcast called Start Talking and Recording Today. And he was talking about this site called Patreon. Now, Patreon, best way to look at it is it's a continuous Kickstarter for creative people. And so when I say creative people, it is people who put out different works of art. And when art can be whatever medium you're working in. So if you're a blogger, boom, you do a lot of writing. There you go. You're a comic book writer. Boom. Anytime you put that out, this would work for you. If you are a musician and every time you put a song out, painter, put out a new painting, YouTuber, you put out a new YouTube episode, or even us podcasters or photographers, this site is great for y'all because it's not a site that takes people's money. It's a support site. How can people help support you? But Patreon is good for all of those creators because you can take your whatever it is you create, whether it's a podcast episode or a blog post or a YouTube video, and post it up on here. And when you do, your viewers and your listeners are then actually charged a dollar. They actually support or whatever it is you set it up. You $5 or $150 or $2,000 or whatever. However you set it up, that is how you can set it up to where they are either charged per product or by month. And so you can have people help you to grow, to help you achieve that new mixer or new microphone. Say you've been wanting a Heil PR40, but there's no way in the world you're going to be able to get the $400 for it. Well, one way you can do that is through Patreon. Let them know, hey, I'm working towards this right here. If we make that amount, I'm going to buy this microphone and I'm going to buy this new equipment and that new equipment and all these other things. But a lot of people, when I first heard about it, I was like, oh, great. So you're making a pay site. You're making your site, you're making your audience pay for your material. No, actually they're not. They, what it is you, when you put up a, hey, I've made a post, then what they're doing is they're going, okay, you've made a post. We see that you made the post. Here is your, here's the newest information. So we're going to now deduct whatever it is from your audience. And that can be for a per month or a per episode basis, if we're talking in form of podcasts. So it's great for helping. I went ahead and I decided to create one. Mine's over at patreon.com/podcastdojo. You can find that over on contacts at the podcastdojo.com/contacts or contact. If you happen to be over there, you'll see it over on the right hand side of the website. Actually, we also have a help us Patreon or support the site on the Patreon. Click that and it takes you over to the page. Very easy to sign up, very easy to set up. I like it. I like it a lot. And that's definitely recommended. And that's why we have that set as our podcast site for this week. Now, in podcasting news, Adam Carolla has made news again. And this time it's because he has taken the gloves off on this patent troll dude. He is just getting tired of it. It is such a insanely expensive ordeal to have to fight against a patent troll. And that's what they normally do. That's what they're banking on. That you're this little bitty business that's wanting to try to stay afloat. And so they're hoping to come in and extort money out of you. And that's exactly what it is. It's extortion. It's legal extortion. And I'm a conservative and yay capitalism, but I draw the line at, if you're going to try to charge me for a product, you better, or for a patent, you better be actively making that patent. If you haven't done anything with it in 20 years, then guess what, buddy? It's done. I'll put a 20-year statute of limitations on. If you haven't done a thing with that patent, it had just sat not being used by you, the current quote-unquote patent owner, then it should become public domain, in my opinion. That's all that is. I am not a patent lawyer in any form, fashion, or another. And I'm just speaking out of my butt, so to speak. But this patent troll, Personal Audio LLC, is banking on the fact of how expensive it is to defend yourself, defend that you did nothing wrong. And so since they're hoping that the sheer cost that it's going to take to defend yourself, that you will cower and go, "Oh, I mean, I'm so sorry. Here, how much do I need to pay you?" And extort the money from them in the form of a licensing fee. Well, like I said, Adam Carolla, the Podfather, has had more than enough, and he is not happy. And he has gotten together with fundanything.com, which is another kind of a crowdsourcing site, a lot like Patreon and Kickstarter and Indiegogo and those things. And has raised over $300,000 so far for the legal fund to help him fight off patent troll. And so what I think the thing is that patent trolls, they don't have a clue as to what in the world they have. Okay. He has this guy, the Personal Audio LLC. If you're not 100% familiar with it, what it is they, back in the 90s, this guy came up with an idea to make audio magazines. You would pay them an X amount of money for articles out of magazines to be read into a cassette tape or recorded on a cassette tape. And that way you could listen to them in the car or on a Walkman or things along those lines. And so he made a patent for that. Okay. His idea on that, great. But that's not a podcast. And so he decided, hey, this podcast thing, that fits a lot into the wording of what I have for my audio magazine. That would work. Yeah. And so the fact that he did that, has that particular patent, he's trying to tie it into, and because his audio magazine didn't work at all, but he's seeing that people like Adam Carolla and Mark Maron and the Discovery Channel's podcasts and those people along them lines who have become very successful, he sees a chance to go, yeah, I can get money off of them. That's my patent. I'm going to go after them. He did do a playlist successfully sue Apple. But the thing that he didn't realize, and because he doesn't actually have a podcast and doesn't understand what a podcast truly is the power of the community. Personal Audio LLC and the owner, whatever his name is, doesn't understand that there is a community behind each podcast. Granted, that community may be only two people, but that is a community. And then you have those like Adam Carolla, Mark Maron, Doug Benson, Kevin Smith, the Twit Network, Leo Laporte's whole conglomerate, Cliff Ravenscraft, Dave Jackson, Jimmy Bice, all these people. They have incredible communities that are incredibly loyal. I mean, come on, Keith and the girl have fans who have such rabid fans, they actually tattoo the logo on their body. Holy crud, that's dedication. So when you have Adam Carolla, Keith and the girl, and the likes go, hey, I know it's tough, but can you donate some money to this group to help us knock this patent trolls in the dirt? Guarantee you that these people are going to go, well, shoot yeah, man, and will throw insane amounts of money their way. It's the power of the community. That's one of the wonders of podcasting, is that power of community, and the fact that you can go, hey, I know it's the times are tough, but I need a favor from you. And your audience, your listeners go, man, I was going to eat this week, but who needs it? Who needs food? Take my lunch money and willingly give it. They have no problem doing that as long as you are truthful as to who you are. Always make sure that you are trustworthy. Because if you don't, that audience that so dearly loves what you do can and will turn on you in a New York minute. But help Adam out. Go to fundanything.com/patent troll. And there will be a link to it in the show notes at podcastdojo.com/021. And down at the bottom, you'll actually even see his video that he, a little short minute and a half video that he put together. And I went ahead and here in a moment, actually, just as soon as I finish here, we're going to play that and then we'll roll the, finish the show up. But help him out. Throw $5 his way. You may not listen to him. You may not even like him, but the fact that he is doing something to go against personal audio, to tell that patent troll, kiss off, you ain't got crap, is worth standing behind Adam and his ACE network, because they're exhibiting the power of podcasting. So anyhow, here's a quick message from Adam.
Hi, I'm small business owner Adam Carolla. I'm standing in my studio. I built this studio. Actually, we all kind of built this studio because you guys supported me and my podcast, and we started a nice small business with a handful of friendly employees who aim to please. Unfortunately, they're guys called patent trolls. What do? Honestly, I still don't know. They buy up patents, and then they use them to get money out of businesses. And in this case, a podcast, a small podcast. Well, normally people settle up with these guys because it's so expensive to fight these guys in court. Well, guess what? We're going to circle the wagons, band together, and come out throwing punches. Here's my plan. We all band together, all the podcasts, because remember, if I go down, well, then your favorite podcast is going down next, and we're going to all fall like dominoes. But if we all unify and stand and fight together, we can beat the trolls. But we can't do it alone. We need your support. Go to fundanything.com/patent troll and let's smash the trolls.
So, all right. So please head on over there. There's links to it on the show notes. So we'll go ahead and we'll start wrapping this up. I want to thank y'all very much for listening. If you have decided, I've got to have a podcast. Oh, I need a podcast. What do I need to do first? Well, first off, you got to have a website. And the website I actually would recommend is Site5. They are lenient when it comes to podcasters. So if you're wanting to try podcasting out, but you don't want to spend a whole heaping lot of money on other things or on a separate Sparedale hosting. Okay. I don't recommend it, but it is possible. And Site5 will help you can fit that bill really well. I have yet to have any problems with them. They're easy to set up. And if you get your site and you need any help, let me know. You can contact me over at podcastdojo.com/contact, and I'll do what I can to help you out, which is going to be, I can get you set up from the ground up, just to want you to get your site going. We can get you everything installed, and all you have to do is just go through and find a theme, and you're off to the races. And if you do that, I will also You help me out. You help me out. You help me out, and because Sci-Fi will throw a little compensation my way, and I will help you out by letting everybody know that, hey, there's this new show out with this name and address. If you want to get a hold of, contact me, all sorts of ways, there at podcastdojo.com/contact. And also go to podcastdojo.com/review. Leave us some stars and a rating. Help us to climb up the proverbial steps. So, folks, thank you very much. Stitcher listeners, also give us a thumbs up, and we will see y'all next week, all right? Till then, we'll tell the world who you are.
Hey Rolling Podcast Network. Hey Rolling.